This morning's scripture reading is John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover feast, Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves. He saw others sitting at tables, exchanging different kinds of money. Jesus made a whip out of cords and forced all of them, both the sheep and cattle, to leave the temple. He turned over the tables and scattered the money of those who were exchanging it. Then he said to those who were selling pigeons, "Take these out of here. Don't make my Father's house a place for buying and selling." When this happened, the followers remembered what was written in the scriptures: "My strong love for your temple completely controls me." Some of his people said to Jesus, "Show us a miracle to prove you have the right to do these things." Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken.
...2017 just seemed to me to be a year of anger. Everybody was angry about something or someone at some point. And hopefully 2018 won't be like that. One night years ago, when our daughter, Molly, was about, I don't know, eight or nine years old, she was having trouble sleeping. And she kept coming into our bedroom telling us that. And we would say, "Honey, just go back to bed. You know, you'll fall asleep in a little bit." But she kept coming back in, saying she couldn't sleep, couldn't sleep. She did it about 4 or 5 times. And we were trying to sleep, obviously. And by the 5th time, I'd had it. And I sat up in bed, and I yelled at her in a very, very loud voice that probably the neighbors heard. And it scared her so bad she shook when I did that. And I realized right away that I didn't do the right thing. So I got up out of bed and I went into her bed and laid down with her. And I'd like to say that I apologized, but I can't remember for sure if I did or not. But I laid there with her until she fell asleep. I don't get angry very often, and if my wife were here, she would acknowledge that. In fact, I really can't remember the last time that I became angry. But every time I have failed, every time I've become angry and failed to control it, I have always regretted it. There are and will be many circumstances that cause us to become angry. Sin, injustice, mistreatment, you know, a host of other circumstances that can generate anger. How you deal with that anger will determine whether or not you commit sin. You know, Jesus had a passion for the will of God, as you heard just a moment ago. And I don't think anyone would question that. We would expect that. In John 2, verse 17, when Jesus drove those money changers out of the temple, it reads, "The disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" Now, you heard the New Century Version read. That's the ESV. So Jesus' passion or zeal is what motivated him to put together this whip of cords, which he used to drive out all of the animals that were in the temple courts. We also read in that narrative that he overturned the tables of those money changers and scattered their money. And when you read this text in John 2, 13 through 22, you form this picture in your mind, or at least I do, of Jesus swinging this whip and overturning tables like a man who's in a rage. He accused the Jews of turning his father's house from a house of prayer into a den of robbers. I mean, you can almost feel the passion of Jesus. But when you read the 3 accounts of this incident, The word anger or wrath is conspicuously absent. And this was recognized by the translators because in some of these translations, there are no exclamation marks in the text. You know, punctuation was not, of course, in the original documents, so all punctuation was added by translators. In fact, in Mark's version, in Mark 11, verse 17, it indicates he was teaching them that it was written that his house would be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. In fact, that's a quote from Jeremiah. So my vision of this incident really has been rather inaccurate. Jesus, he didn't go into some kind of a rage. He was completely under control. I've taught in the past that this incident justifies righteous anger. And I believe there is such a thing as righteous anger. But man's righteous anger, or so-called righteous anger, and God's righteous anger often have very different outcomes, unfortunately. Now, there is an incident in Mark 3, verse 5, where Jesus did experience the emotion of anger. And in this narrative, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And the only concern of the religious leaders who were present was that Jesus had broken the Sabbath law by healing this man on the Sabbath. They didn't care about the man's healing. They only cared about whether or not Jesus had broken the law. And verse 5 reads, as he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. So there were times when Jesus experienced the emotion of anger. But it did not lead him to inappropriate actions. He always kept his anger under control. It's written numerous times in the Old Testament that God is slow to anger. And thank goodness for that. Anger is an emotion that every one of us has experienced. Anger is not sinful in itself. That emotion is not sinful because God is a God of wrath and anger. Scripture teaches that, but anger becomes sinful when we fail to control it. James 1, 19 and 20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Interesting verse. James is warning us that when we fail to control our anger, it's not going to be pretty. In fact, Proverbs teaches that a quick temper is characteristic of a fool. Proverbs 14, verse 29, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." So when we can't control our temper, we usually end up making a fool of ourselves and hurting someone else, either with our words or our actions or maybe both. It becomes very destructive. It becomes very hurtful. And similarly, Proverbs 19:11 teaches, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." Because oftentimes we're offended, and that's what makes us angry. Somebody says something to us or does something to us that's not very nice, and we get angry. Typically, we experience that anger at that time. Like, you know, when you're waiting on a parking spot out in the Giant Eagle parking lot and somebody zooms in right in front of you, you know. But if you can overlook an offense, if you can forgive, it helps us to keep our anger under control. When your anger is out of control, it's destructive. And the first person that it hurts is you. Proverbs 19:19, "A man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again." There was a TV advertisement back in 2011, I'm sure some of you probably had seen it, where this wife finds out that her husband has been cheating on her. And so she goes into the garage, gets a sledgehammer, puts it in the trunk of her car, drives to the golf course where he's supposed to be, pulls up, sees his car in the parking lot, pulls up right beside his car, gets out of her car, gets the sledgehammer out of the trunk and began smashing his car, smashing his windshield, smashing his headlights, just, you know, smashing. Unfortunately, what she thought was his car wasn't his car. And he pulls up right about that time, right beside this car in an identical car. And he says, "Honey, what are you doing?" I've known a few people who had difficulty controlling their temper, and I'm sure you know of some too. In fact, there may be some in here this morning. We had a man like that in the church in Lancaster, Ohio. It didn't take a whole lot to make him angry. In fact, he just seemed like he was angry all the time to me. And he was always looking for someone on whom to vent his anger. And this, he used to have a, where he lived in Lancaster, he had a shop in his house. He repaired golf clubs and sold golf clubs. And so out in front of his yard near the road was this huge golf club, you know, advertising his business. He wasn't allowed to have a sign, so he just had this huge golf club. And every year around high school graduation, the golf club turned up missing. And he would go down to the high school and just vent at the administration at the high school, telling them whatever it was he told them. But it would get back to us. We would hear about it at the church, about our church member who went down and was just railing at the administration of the school. Poor people, they had nothing to do with it. Every year, and I began to wonder if it became a prank, because it happened almost every year, because they wanted to see how he reacted at the school. And of course, the harm from the inability to control anger is just not, it's not limited to you. The harm typically spreads to the people around you who endure the brunt of your anger, kind of like my daughter endured when I got angry at her. Proverbs 21, verse 19, "It's better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman." Fretful meaning contentious or angry. "It's better to live alone than to live with someone who can't control their anger, because it's so destructive and so harmful. When a spouse cannot control his or her anger and other family members are hurt by it, and in extreme cases, it can be deadly." It can be deadly. We probably all know of stories where that's turned out to be the case. Genesis 4:5, it indicates that when Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, but his brother Abel's was, in anger he went and killed his brother. How many times have we read in the newspaper where an estranged husband killed his wife or his ex-wife out of anger, or an ex-girlfriend? We read that, seems like, almost once every couple of months. I've shared in the past that Dr. Willard Harley, who wrote the book Love Busters, stated that angry outbursts toward our mate is caused by the feeling that our mate's actions or words has caused our unhappiness. And anger is the way to punish them for it. So according to Dr. Harley, an angry outburst is, in essence, this is what he says it is, it's a failure to protect your spouse. Anger is so problematic that Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 not to appoint that kind of a man to a leadership position in the church. A former elder once told me of a situation in a church in Tennessee where an elder had done something in the minds of a number of the members that they felt disqualified him from serving any longer as an elder. And so a group of people got together and they approached the elders in a meeting one night and asked the elder who had committed this, whatever he had done, and asked him to step down because they no longer supported him as an elder. And the elder's response was, "I've never backed down from a fight yet. I don't intend to start now." What? I mean, his defiant response was really promoting conflict. That's one of the main problems with the inability to control anger. It often leads to strife or conflict. Proverbs 29:22, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression." So anger, if not controlled, causes conflict, which results, of course, in sin. The inability to control anger can be even more destructive when it occurs in a person who is in a position of authority. Proverbs 16:14, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. So when people in positions of authority are unable to control their anger, watch out. Watch out. When Jesus was born, you recall the story. Herod asked the Magi to bring word to him about where this child was, where this child had been born. And so the Magi went and visited the Christ child. But the Magi were told in a dream, don't go back to Herod. And so they went on their way after worshiping the baby Jesus. And when Herod found out about it, it says in Matthew 2:16, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem that were 2 years old or younger. So many lives can be affected by a ruler's failure to control his anger. And so it just demonstrates how one little spark can set a forest fire, can cause a forest fire. Here's the good news, though. Here's the good news. The ability to control one's anger is a calming influence. It's like throwing cold water on a nuclear reactor. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Verse 18, he who is slow to anger quiets contention. So being able to keep your emotions under control helps other people keep their emotions under control. And when you read the Gospels, you know, Jesus, he never lost his cool. Even in the incident that we read about where he drove the money changer out of the temple, he never lost his cool. He spoke harshly to the Pharisees at times, but he never flew into a rage or blurted words that he would regret. Even when he was arrested and brutalized, never lost his cool. As a result of his self-control, blessings have spread to men and women everywhere. When they hurled their insults at him, he hung in pain. As he hung in pain on the cross, you know, that could have easily generated intense emotion, intense anger. He could have lost control. He could have come down off the cross. We can all be thankful today that he kept his emotions under control. You know, if anybody in this world had a right to be angry, it would have been Jesus at what they did to him, at his mistreatment, at their misunderstanding, at their rejection of him and how unfairly he was treated. Years ago, an elder's wife criticized a friend of ours for some good works that she was doing. And, you know, she could have gotten angry about that. She was trying to do some good. She was serving in a ministry, and she was criticized for it. And she could have gotten angry and upset. But, you know, all she did was say, I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant. We need to remember the words of James. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, we're all going to experience anger. We're all going to experience anger at one time or another. The key is your response. That's going to be the key. How you respond. What you do with that anger. We have a tendency to want to retaliate when we're mistreated. You know, we often employ anger to accomplish that. God wants us to leave the response to Him. He wants us to leave the vengeance to Him. In the heat of battle, if we can just remember the cross, how Jesus, under the worst conditions imaginable, that most of us will never ever face, entrusted the outcome to God. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. 1 Peter 2:23. I have some next steps for you on the communication card this morning. Memorize Proverbs 15:1, very easy one. A soft answer turns away wrath. And then read John 2:13 through 22 and read it in a couple of different versions and look at the punctuation. Some versions have exclamation points, some don't. And accept the stay cool challenge. Never let your emotions get the best of you. To those of you who are not believers in here this morning, someday soon, the wrath and anger of God is going to be poured out a final time. It's poured out periodically, as Romans teaches us, but on that day it will be poured out for the final time, full strength. And you might think it would be unfair for God to inflict His wrath on you because you've really, in your mind, you don't think you've done anything to deserve it. But you have. You've sinned against Him. And according to 1 John 5:10, you've made God a liar because you have not believed in the testimony that He gave about His Son. The good news, though, is there's still time that you can be forgiven. You can escape His wrath if you will believe and obey. If you will believe and obey. We don't know about tomorrow, we only know today. You have an opportunity today to avoid the wrath of God by believing and obeying in His Son Jesus. We encourage you to do that this morning before you leave here, because you don't know what's going to happen when you leave here. We encourage you this morning, respond. Put your faith in Jesus today. We encourage you to do that now. You can come forward, you can go to the back. Either way, we encourage you to avoid the wrath of God today as we stand and as we sing.